Okay, Werner, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Aha. Well, both of us are on now. I don't know what happened, but that's one of those technological glitches that you're glad you have solved.
Now, it's okay.
We may be very well talking on air now, in which case I will copy and take this part of the conversation off, but I'm going to start now just as if the show is starting.
Okay.
Welcome to Envision This, connecting you to visionaries of a more resilient, equitable, and earth-friendly future. Our guest this evening, Werner Brandmeier, envisions this. It is possible to reduce the geopathic stress in our environment that is destroying our health. Werner Brandmeier expanded his practice of traditional feng shui towards energetic principles of true health after helping his spouse recover fully from cancer. In 2000, he founded the Institute of Feng Shui and Geopathology in Portland, Maine. And I think it's important for our listeners and for the world to know both what feng shui is and what geopathology is. And so Werner is here with us to raise our awareness about geopathic stress in the United States. Welcome, Werner.
Hi, welcome, Mary. Hi, nice to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. Let's start with feng shui. What is feng shui?
Feng shui is an old Asian, specifically Chinese way to deal with the energies of your environment and then with your living space. So some people might be a little bit familiar with feng shui in terms of, how to divide your space into different areas. So one is for your prosperity, one is for your career, one is for your relationship. So this is what people are most familiar with. But it's not just such a specific task, but it is really how the environment affects our well-being and our health. The European version of that is geomancy, and geopathology is the form of it where geo, like in geography, the earth, and pathology, the study of sickness. So principles and understanding radiations and effects of the environment make us sick. So geopathic stress, if I just can mention that, because that's a really important term. Geopathic stress is a form of stress which comes from the environment and affects us in many ways, and it's pretty well known in Europe. You know, so the research goes back 100 years. But in America, the knowledge about that is not that spread yet, and this is what we try to achieve with our institute.
Wonderful. How did you first personally become engaged in feng shui?
I have a technical background. I'm an engineer for electronics. I worked in the medical field for many, many years with big apparatus, with computer tomographs, MRIs. So I was a very technical-oriented person. But from my family line, I always was interested, and my father, for example, was a dowser, you know, and dowsing is to find a water in on the land where you should put a well in, or to find energy grids and energy fields in the landscape, you know, some power spots and things which strengthen the energy of your house, and on the other hand areas to avoid because they might make us sick. And I always was interested in that as a contrast to my technical work. And when we came to America about 15 or 16 years ago, my wife was suddenly diagnosed with cancer just about 2 weeks after giving birth to our third child, which was, you know, hit us totally out of the blue, because we had a, you know, pretty healthy lifestyle. We ate organic food. We just made sure that, you know, we didn't have too many stressors in our life, and still it happened. And so this pushed me towards this European and especially German and Austrian research, which goes back nearly 100 years now, which states that cancer is always connected with these type of earth energies. And if they're not taken care of, it is just really, really hard to overcome that and to make sure, you know, the cancer would not come back, because this is the biggest fear of every cancer survivor, is that, you know, a few years later they get another diagnosis that the cancer might reoccur or come back. And so with all this research, which was easy for me, of course, because a lot of this is in German, I got more and more into this field, and I realized how important it is to, just spread this information, and this is what we did.
How was awareness and action in the area of geopathic stress able to help you heal your wife's cancer?
Look, geopathic stress is a very direct way to drain your energy. Okay, so this is what it does. In the Chinese philosophy, in Chinese medicine, we talk about qi, you know, our life force. And geopathic stress drains your life force. And so consequently, if you look at that on a bigger picture, you know, anything which weakens your immune system, which drains you, which tires you, which exhausts the body on a cellular level, leads on the long term to first chronic illnesses and at some point to some dramatic illnesses. And cancer is just the end of the line. It's not the only thing which happens. But it always starts with specific exhaustion and often with sleeping problems. So that's a very early sign to look at, is how do you sleep? If you, for example, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning or around this time, that's a very strong symptom, because these energies are not don't have the same intensity during the day, and the strongest intensity is between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. So, once you wake up at this point, because you can't, you know, you pass this threshold, and then you can't get back anymore, and then next day you are not fit, you're not rested. So you carry this around with you, and when the body is always stressed out and cannot recover properly at night, you know, where the healing happens, the self-healing mechanism is during this rest period, then you just run the whole system down, pretty much.
How would awareness of earth energetic principles help us to create a more harmonious world?
I would say there are a number of steps. So if we know that something makes us sick, obviously we want to avoid that, right? Mm-hmm. So when we are able to avoid that, you know, the body, which is a fantastic self-healing mechanism, you know, can do its job so much better. And harmony and stress are just two very opposite things. So whenever something stresses you out, it takes you away from a harmonic situation. So it's a bit the principle of resonance and dissonance. You know, resonance is when everything falls together and is harmonic, and dissonance is the opposite. And the whole circle leads very simply back to feng shui. For example, if you want to buy a house, you know, and you just you know, walk through the door, very often the first moment you know already if you like the house or not, because there's a harmony there, you know, there's a resonance there, or there is not, there is a dissonance there. And if there's a dissonance there, you know, the energy of the house and your energy do not fit together properly, then this creates problems and stress and all kind of you know, disliking, and so you don't like the house, no matter how new it is, how cheap, good deal it is. It just would not, you know, help you in on your on your, when you're looking for a healthy, harmonious living environment. It just would not add up to that.
What kind of geopathic stresses did you become aware of in your own home that you were able to correct in order to heal your wife's cancer?
There are three or four typical causes for geopathic stress. The first one is underground running water. Okay, so not standing water, but if there is a water running in the earth, you know, like we call it a water vein, and this is what usually you'd like to find with as a dowser, you know, if you want to drill for a well. If this runs under your bed, you know, that is a permanent cause of trouble. So this is the first one. The second one are fault lines, you know, when the earth shifts deep underground, or there is maybe a big boulders or some weird energy spaces underground. There is this radiation coming up from these fields, and this is another form. And the third one are grid systems, earth grid systems, regular three-dimensional grid systems. So it's cubic, it's not just a flat net, and you have to imagine this a little bit like a physical wall, but it's just not physical. So it has a thickness, or often like half a foot or something like this thick, and it runs through your bedroom, you know, if this is the case. And if it runs through your bed, then this draining energy affects you. And there are a lot of natural observations you can connect with that. For example, a lot of animals avoid these naturally, you know, and just people have lost this instinct of avoiding that, except of little kids or babies. Babies sometimes always roll into one corner of the bed, and sometimes they even fall out of the bed. And when the parents check after them and they see they're on one side of the bed, they tuck them in the middle, and 2 hours later, again, they moved away from this because they naturally avoid those areas. When you grow up or when you get older, you lose this instinct. But animals have this a lot, and animals like dogs and all bigger farm animals, cows and horses and pigs and sheep, they all get sick on those line, on those grid lines. The only bigger animal which does the opposite of everybody else is the cat. And so if your cat loves your bed, that is usually not a good sign, because cats are attracted to this type of draining energy. And so that is an old folk knowledge that you like to sleep where your dog wants to sleep, or you know, in old times, people went, before they built the house, they looked where the sheep would settle down on the farm or on the farmland, and this is where they put the house, because sheep would never lie down on a negative area, but cats are the exception here. And the other one which gives us a pretty good signs are insects. You know, insects, like if somebody has problems with ants in the house, ant hills are always on crossings of those energy lines, or wasp nests, or even bees. You know, a lot of bee people know how to douse, because bees give more honey, 20% more honey on those energy lines, you know. So, but insects, obviously, they just indicators for us to understand where those lines and those grids are. And I want to mention one other thing. You know, it's not that this is a total disaster when this happens. It depends on how much time you spend. So, for example, you know, if some of those areas run through your kitchen and you sit there at the table to have meals twice or three times a day, that's not really a big issue, because you sit there for half an hour. But if you spend long periods of time, and that's why it's important to investigate our bedrooms, so where we sleep, you know, we spend 7-8 hours in our bed. That is an important area which should be earth radiation free.
Why has geopathic stress in Europe been correlated to cancer for nearly 100 years, but yet is ignored here in the United States?
I would say, people investigated this a long time ago. The first big experiment which was done, which is documented, you know, and there are books written about it, comes from the 1920s, 1928-29, a German aristocrat, Gustav Freiherr von Pohl, had the idea that they did a blind experiment where they doused a little town, Vilsbiburg, in the Black Forest area, a few thousand people there. So it took him about a week, and he drew the major earth lines which he found in the village, you know, and he drew them on a plan, and the saying is that he had to walk around with a policeman in town who was new to the town himself, just to make sure he wouldn't talk to people, you know. And so they tried to make it as neutral as possible, and after a week of his work, he brought all his work into the mayor, and the mayor called in the physician of the town and said, please bring me the cancer cases of the last 15 years. And there were 42 or 43 cases, I believe. And they found that every single case was on one of these major lines. And so, you know, this got them really excited, because, you know, cancer research goes really, really far back. And they thought at this point in the 1930s, this was presented on medical conferences, you know, a lot of doctors involved. And they thought they found the cause for cancer, you know. And today we know it's not the cause, but it's a very strongly contributing factor. And so this is why it is important to know about that, in order, you know, to just change your sleeping conditions. If you don't sleep well, you know, try a different room. You know, try to sleep in a guest room. Try to sleep in the living room for a few days. Sometimes it takes a few days to adapt to a new situation. But many of my clients, you know, when I go out and do investigate a house, and I very often do not know anything about their health. And if we find something really dramatic here, you know, and then they tell me, oh, you know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer like a year ago, or I went through cancer already, or that they also tell me, you know, whenever I sleep at my sister's house, I sleep like a baby, you know, in my own house, I just cannot sleep, or I wake up every night three times, four times, I'm totally exhausted. So why this hasn't clicked over to America yet, you know, it has to do with science, you know, because science does not acknowledge energetic techniques, you know. It does not acknowledge Chinese medicine, or did not for a very, very long time. And unfortunately, there are no simple instruments like an electronic instrument which would measure that. You know, then it might be easier, but it's a very subtle energetic change. You know, once we figured that out with my wife, for example, and the situation we had in our own house, you know, everything improved very much, and you know, she's cancer-free for since then. So I have to say, you know, she went through some chemotherapy at this point because, you know, we were in a dramatic shock. We just had a 2-week-old baby. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, you know, are you crazy? We can deal with that. So she went through at least part of the regimen, which, you know, was my special field. All my clients in Austria some of them were working in this field. So we had just left all this field behind when we came to America and you know, where I didn't know anybody in this field here, and then we were confronted with a situation like that. But the important part was that you do the additional work to change the causes for you know, which would support cancer to get even worse. It's, as I said before, it's not the cause for cancer. You know, there are a number of reasons. But usually what happens is when several of these reasons come together, you know, this is when it comes up and when it happens. So, yeah.
How do modern technologies increase the problem of geopathic stress?
That is a very good question, Mary. Geopathic stress, by definition, is a natural effect, right? So, you know, there are just areas, you know, which are unhealthier and other ones are healthier. And feng shui helps you to find those healthy places and to rearrange your home in a healthy way. But technology now has brought in additional problems. And the big abbreviation and name here we're looking for is EMF, you know, which stands for electromagnetic fields. Electromagnetic fields are high energy or high frequency fields from all our electronics, you know, from Wi-Fi, from cell phones, from computers, from microwave ovens, and more. And they create a very similar stress effect on the cellular level, you know, where the cell starts to not function properly anymore. I would like to give you or our listeners maybe a quick picture here what happens on the cellular level, you know, when the cells are exposed to environmental stress. You know, it's just another form of stress. So when stress happens, the change between sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system is the fight and flight response. So during the day, you know, we have all this activity and we have to react and respond, and so we are active and we have a lot of stress to deal with. But at night, the parasympathetic usually kicks in, and this is where the automatic recovery happens and the healing happens in the body. The problem is that you cannot heal and fight an enemy like in old times, you know, fight or flight, at the same time. So it only can do one or the other, you know. And when now you are active all day long and then you finally fall into your bed to rest and there is another form of stress factor there, you know, even if it's a subtle environmental stress, the stress keeps your adrenaline going and keeps your body in alert mode, and so you never can really go into the healing mode, and that is the big problem. This is a little bit as if you know, you go to work, let's say, and you arrive in the office and you slept really well and the window is open and there is a crowd of school children in the neighbor yard and they run around and make a lot of noise. But because you slept well, you really rested and you barely hear them, you know. On the other hand, if you did not sleep well and you have already a headache and you arrive in the office and you hear all this noise outside, the first thing is you do, you close the window, you know, because you can't focus. And this is what happens to the cells. They just can't focus. They can't do their work properly because there's too much stress there. They cannot communicate properly with other cells, you know, because a lot of the work in the body is communication between cells. And so the work is not done properly, and the communication is not, and everything is a big mess. And this is what happens, as the health outcome. It's just not as it should be.
By analogy, I have been diagnosed with sleep apnea, and for a while, just a closing up of my throat basically was causing such interruption in my sleep that I couldn't heal during sleep time, basically. And
yes.
So I use a... Is sleep apnea related to geopathic stress or to what you're talking about?
It can be. It's not, geopathic stress is not the only way why people have sleeping problems. If you have a heavy meal at night before you go to bed, that's not good for your sleep either. So there are a number of reasons why people can't sleep. Sometimes can lift up your head a bit with a special pillow, to open your tubes for breathing better. But it can be, or often I would say, it can be a combination of those things. And the geopathic part is just on the energetic aspect of there are different levels. We talk about a physical level, and we talk about emotional, mental, and energetic levels. And on this energetic field, this is where the geopathic energies or the electromagnetic, the EMFs, come in from your wireless and your microwave ovens.
Okay, so you think that the wireless technologies and the microwave ovens are probably the most troublesome of the modern technologies that are...
Absolutely, and there is a recommendation of the World Health Organization out there, or a reading, I don't know for a few years now, which quotes that EMFs are connected with cancer, and dangerous for the same way than smoking is, on big levels. In Europe, this is much, much more known. In Europe, it is not allowed by law to have a cell phone tower on a school or on a hospital. In America here, I'm here in Portland, and my kids, the bigger ones now, they went to Deering High School. And Deering High School proudly announced a number of years ago to have a cell phone tower on top of their school. I read an article a bit recently that the biology teacher now tries to get an investigation because the goldfish in the laboratory under the tower, since the tower is up, are not doing well and die all the time, And so they thought maybe this has to do something with the tower. But I tell you, in Europe, it is much stricter. It's just not allowed. And in America, this knowledge has not really gotten around. Also, when you read your cell phone contract in detail, you sign there, in the small print, I have a cell phone, of course, myself, and it says in small print that you do not hold the company for any health issues which might come out there responsible. And so they let you sign that. On the other hand, they do not admit any wrongdoing, and there is unfortunately very, very little research done on that. So we practically are the experimental rats here for this huge experiment of electromagnetic fields here around us. And it even smart meters, a lot of people are now sensitive to smart meters, which is another wireless radio signal, you know, in the house. So we did. For I just want to tell you another story. We did a lifeblood microscopy experiment. You know, where you take a drop of blood and put it in the microscope, and look how nicely round shaped the blood cells are, and how nicely singular they are, not sticking together. You know, if you drink a sip of water which was warmed up in a microwave, and you look at the blood a minute later or 2 minutes later, the blood cells are totally clocked together, totally in big chunks and big rows. You know, and now when somebody knows that the cell phone frequencies and microwave oven frequencies are exactly in the same range. You know, this is why sometimes when you have your cell phone next to the microwave, when you turn the microwave on, you hear this cracking on there, because it's in the same frequency range, which means the cell phone is practically a microwave oven, just on a much lower intensity, you know. But if you do it long enough, and if you carry your bottle of water around with you in the same bag than your cell phone, you practically have microwaved your water. You know, and that is a catastrophe, and nobody is aware of that, or very, very few people.
It sounds to me, as I put this together, like the industry that creates medical drugs. It sounds to me like the pharmaceutical industry may be suppressing some of this knowledge, because, you know, they can sell pills.
Absolutely, you know, and what is really, you know, the most important or the most important part of our society are the little children. You know, just recently I heard a statistic that three quarters of 4 or 5 year olds have their own cell phone. Mm-hmm. Like 3 out of 4 have their own cell phone. And what you see always, you know, pictures where little babies chew on the phone, you know, and then they press a few buttons. This is totally, totally, totally dangerous, because the brain of those little kids are developing, you know, much more than the grown-up brain is done. The grown-up body has, you know, some defense mechanism through the glandular system and through the immune system, you know, because there are all kind of things out there. But a baby is just building all this up. It doesn't have this. The bones are very soft still of the brain. So there is a research out there which shows that a cell phone reaches about 1/3 into the skull of a grown-up person, you know, but about 2/3 into the skull of a 10-year-old, and practically through the entire skull and brain of a 5-year-old, you know, because the head is still smaller and the bones are softer. And so you totally microwave, you know, the entire body, the brain, from a very, very early age. There was a study done on CNN. They presented this 3-4 years ago, I saw it myself, with men who carry their cell phone on their belt, you know, and they did sperm counts, and they had a 50% reduced sperm count after 3 years of you know, carrying your phone on your belt. So you can imagine, on the long term, you know, there is no studies done on cell phone, on possible damage on cell phone. There's just no studies, especially in America. You know, there are some studies in Europe. So there is no long-term understanding what this does and what, you know, what dangers there would be connected. So my really passion here is to inform people and make them aware of this, because, you know, there are some things you can do and other things you can't do. So the simple thing is, keep your phones away and your electronics away from little kids. You know, don't push it on them in order to quiet them. You know, let them play with your phone. You know, very, very bad idea. So keep them away. Do not use the phone extensively, or use speakerphone. You know, definitely speakerphone. The further away the technical or physics formula for there goes that the intensity diminishes with the square of the distance. So if you have it twice as far away, it's only a fourth of the 2 times 2 is 4. 1/4 of the intensity. You know, 3 times further away is a ninth of the intensity. So the intensity takes off dramatically when you get it further away from your body. That's why using a speakerphone is much better than holding the phone onto your ear. Or do not use your phone, at least not extensively, in your car, because the car is a metal body, like it's called a Faraday cage, you know. So this is a closed metal cage, does not allow any frequencies to get into there. So in order to have reception in there, the phone automatically goes on maximum strength mode whenever you use it in the car. So if you use your phone in the car, you know, use it through your speaker system, through a Bluetooth system, so it's at least not on your head and you know, away from your head. So there are a number of those things. Once you understand some of those principles, you can at least reduce the dangers here and the effect to a big amount. On the other hand, of course, you know, we cannot totally avoid it, because my 15-year-old, like my third kid here, you know, does all his homework on his tablet and on his computer, right? That's, you know, when he sits in school, there are 30 other tablets around him. So even if he wouldn't have one, you know, you can't go anywhere in public today without Wi-Fi nets around you. And so we developed tools and devices to protect your energy field and your body, and all those things can be found on my website in case somebody wants to do some of his own research on those things.
Great, because we'll be asking you about that in a little bit. You mentioned Wi-Fi. How does Wi-Fi fit into this?
Yeah, same thing. Wi-Fi just creates a mini cell phone tower in your own house, you know, and because I said, you know, the further something is away, the better, you know. It's not as strong as a cell phone tower, of course, but you have it really close, you know, it's somewhere in your house. So my recommendation for that is to turn the Wi-Fi off at night when you sleep, if you can do that. You know, a lot of the new routers, they have an on-off button, and you just turn it off at night and then turn it on during the day again.
Do you have concerns about Earth's and humanity's problems becoming exaggerated or worse if we continue to ignore?
Yes, Mary. I tell you what my concern here is. You know, I sometimes send out in my newsletter, you know, other people, other scientists explaining some of those details. And there was a Swedish scientist a little while ago, and I put the video out on my site, who explained that little babies, when they play with cell phones and tablets and computers, that they damage their DNA, you know, and especially girls, because you know, on the male situation, sperm is reproduced and made new all the time, but on the female part, a baby is born with I believe about 40,000 eggs, you know, in their body, and if these are damaged, they are damaged forever. And if you do this one or two generations down, you know, and then the next one is damaged again, the DNA is damaged. This means humans, you know, sterilize themselves out of the future at some point. I mean, that is a big concern, I would say.
Do you connect these problems as they're developing to the increases in things like autism or ADHD and
That is a very good observation as well. I mean, there, among the many studies which have been done in Europe, there was a study done in the 1970s by an Austrian woman. She worked with 3,000 school children in 25 districts around Salzburg. And she did, you know, at this point, they didn't have the terms ADD and ADHD, and, you know, so they called them, you know, kids were hyper at school, they couldn't focus, they couldn't sit still, or they would wet their beds, you know, they would just have bad results at school. And so she went to, on one hand, people's homes, you know, and checked out the sleeping beds of the kids and changed them if necessary. And they also worked at school, you know, because this might also happen at school. If a kid sits at a spot for 8 hours, you know, 7 hours, then and they picked a bad spot, you know, it just might not help their school achievements. And they had an incredible increase in the results here of those kids. And so it is well known that ADD, ADHD, you know, responds immediately after changing those. Because what happens is, you know, the overall energy of a person is just exhausted and drained. And so everything becomes chronic fatigue, you know, like you have no energy, you depression, you know, like all these low energy things are connected with the energetic level, you know, of your living space and of your working space.
How can people identify if they may be experiencing?
Yeah, you know, through those symptoms, which we mentioned to some degree already, you know. So first question, how do you sleep? You know, how do you sleep? And if there is any issues there, that's the first thing. Then the next suggestion I have is get a cat, or if you don't want to get a cat, borrow one and watch her for a few days. You know, it needs some time to see the patterns, but I tell you from my own experience here, sometimes I come to a place and people show me the three favorite spots of the cat in the house. And when we look at them on a floor plan, we already see the grid lines, the raster there of the grid through the house. So watch your animals, you know, watch your insects. If you have an ant problem in the house and you need to call the terminator in once a year or twice a year, you know, it's a very likely sign that there is a grid line somewhere where they are in this corner of, or in this wall, there might be a grid line passing through the house. Plants have the same thing. So a lot of trees grow crippled. If you, I don't know if you are familiar with Portland a little bit, but the Back Cove, Baxter Boulevard, you know, there are a lot of trees there. If you imagine those, or next time you drive by, look at them. A lot of trees have this cantrus-looking bark, you know, and this. They call these trees in Germany, they call those cancer trees, you know. Yeah. So there must be a lot of water. I would say water running down, you know, because water runs down usually through, you know, landscape slopes also. So there's a lot of water coming into the Back Cove, underground, you know. But on top, when the tree grows, it's just not happy. And so when trees die easily, you know, or like sometimes you see them totally crippled, you know, and some feet away, the same tree grows straight up there. So watch those things, and then just see, you know, how people are, if they're always sickish, you know, if they have allergies and they're always very low threshold to any virus and get sick all the time. This means your system, your immune system, is not as strong as it should be, Because if your system is strong enough, you can deal with a little virus, flu virus or something. It's not such a big thing. You just would not pick up on this. But if your system is already weak and drained, you pick up those things. And then, things get chronic, as I mentioned before, chronic fatigue system, arthritis, any long-term illnesses, which very often medicine does not have a good a handle on, so they call them syndromes, and because they don't really know what to do with them and where they come from. One thing which, I'm not saying you can heal everything with that, because we are not in the medical field here, but you can support the body to a big part, so it would get stronger and it's able to heal itself and overcome things. Or sometimes just it needs a little medical attention, but not, long-term medication for years and years, because then they always have the side effects and all those things. So you want to support in a natural way your body as much as possible.
We're talking with Werner Brandmeier, who is the founder of the Institute of Feng Shui and Geopathology in Portland, Maine. What is your intention for this institute, and in what way can it help?
On one hand, I really want to get this information out and make people aware of this, okay? So information is a big part of it. Then I offer services to check out your home, your house. That's another important part, because some people are maybe just overwhelmed. They realize that they have a problem, but they don't, know now what to do. So they should contact me or give me a call, and I come to a house and, find out if there is or where the problem is, and what we can do to work around that. And the third part is also that, out of the German tradition of engineering, that you can find a solution to a problem. You don't have to run away, So we developed some of those tools and devices which shield, for example, an entire building from geopathic stress. It works fantastic, And or a person, we protect a person, or we protect, we put something on a phone or a computer, so the disturbing effect is widely minimized, because as I said, sometimes we have to use, I use a cell phone, I use a computer, my kids have to, so we need to figure out a way to make this as neutral and harmonic as possible.
How can people find out if there is a geopathic stress problem in their home?
Just see if you sleep well, and you rested in the morning and you're fresh for the next day and your family is healthy, I would say you're good, But if those are not the case, then, with all those little plants and animals and this and that, these are all little signs and symptoms, and waking up at night and baby falling, these are all things which should make you suspicious. I really invite people to go through my website. I have a number of websites with detailed information and to just educate themselves and find out more about that. And when you're really suspicious and you think there's something going on, then just give me a call and we can discuss this further.
Can you specify what those websites are, and for that matter, if you want to give out your phone number over the
No. My phone number is on all is everywhere. So please, it's absolutely there to give it out if you like to. But, from the different sites, I would just want to give you one site, and the other sites are linked to there. So you can look in the direction of feng shui or just EMFs or, in those different, or you want to see those microscopy pictures, I have four or five websites. So the one website I want you to remember is, it's called www.harmonizeyourspace.com. Harmonizeyourspace.com. And there is a free e-workbook on there about dowsing and a method to use your own body as an instrument to show you, you know, if you're suspicious that something is not good for you. There is a simple exercise we call body dowsing, where you can use your body and see if, you know, because your body intuitively knows in most cases what is good for you and what not. Just when the brain always comes in and rationalizes everything and tries to make everything logical, you know, and some of those things are just energetic, intuitive, and they just are as they are. And when you have little kids, they easily tap into this information, and sometimes it's a little bit easier for women than for men, because men are a bit more rational and thinking. But, you know, in general, it works for 70-80% of people to try this body dowsing exercise at the first time, and then you can, you know, find out, use that to find out if something is wrong in the house. So if you go to the website, you'll find an e-book, and the body dowsing is explained in with pictures and in detail in there, and, you know, some other information there. And the other websites, you know, for more information for some of those studies are listed there as well.
What can you tell us in non-visual form or over the air about how you do a body dowsing?
I can explain this. It just takes a few minutes.
That's
okay. What you want to do with body dowsing is you want to use your body as an instrument, okay? Because usually dowsers you can douse with a pendulum, or you've seen those coat hangers, you know, they're called L-rods. And okay. So there are different ways to use those. But if you use your body, what I want you to do is to stand up, you know, put your feet together, so which makes it a bit unstable, and close your eyes, you know, and when you put your feet together and close your eyes, you feel that the body is moving around a bit, because it's an unstable position, you know, it's not like a table on four legs where nothing is moving, because we want this easy movement. And then what we use is we use this resonance and dissonance principle in our advantage. So if something resonates with us, it attracts us. So it pulls us forward. So if the body moves slightly forward, you know, this is our yes signal. And if the body is repelled and moves backwards or falls backwards slightly, you know, this is our no response. And so the first part of the exercise is that you stand up, feet together, close your eyes, and you just ask in your mind, you know, you just ask your own body, say, you know, body, show me a yes, and see, you know, how the body moves. And, you know, ideally it should move forward, and then you do the same with no, show me a no, and the body moves backwards. However, it can be, you know, that the body moves sideways, for example, you know, and you can use that still. You just have to remember, yes is maybe towards the left and no is towards the right, or whatever way it is. It is not as perfect, you know, and sometimes it indicates the opposite, you know, so a yes is backwards and a no is forward, and we call this switched. And this happens in a person's energy field when there is a big amount of stress there. You know, the body just short circuits, so the energy field, and so it works the opposite way. And there are ways to fix that, but this might take too long to explain this here. So whatever the yes and whatever the no is, just remember those. And once you practice this, you know, dowsing has to do with a bit of practice. You ask an open question, and the first open question you want to ask is, you know, you ask your own name in the form of a question. So you would say, for example, in your mind, you ask the question, is my name Mary? You know, and then you let your body answer and you see if it says yes or no. And, you know, and ideally, hopefully it says yes in 90%. Sometimes it does not like that, you know. And then when you look a little further, you find out that, you know, maybe this was a name you took later on in your life and your parents always called you something else. And your body likes one name over the other. But in most cases, it works at the beginning already, you know. So your own name shows you a yes, and then you ask just a different name. Say, is my name Susan? And you should get a no. And so you practice this yes and no response of your body. And later on, you can use it for everything. If you go shopping and you want to get those organic strawberries on the shelf, and you say, you know, are these healthy for my body, these strawberries? You know, because organic, if they come from China, might not mean very much. So your body might not like these strawberries, or he might, you know. So you can find out on a shelf of olive oil where you have 20 brands there, which is the best olive oil. And when you practice this a bit, you're really getting really fast on that. And there are funny things to do. For example, I took my boy when he was 7, 8 years old, you know, and we selected on the cereal shelf. I sent him out at Hannaford's and said, you know, look for a good cereal for yourself. and sometimes he came with the most colorful ones, and then I let him test in front of me. And then I, you know, we had a big laugh because he was faking the test because he just wanted them. But kids are very playful with that and very intuitive and pick this up very quickly. So it's a lot of fun. And so then you can use this, you know, just walking around in your house and say, you know, is this bed in my bedroom on a healthy spot? You know, is this a good spot for me? Or is there a problem, a geopathic problem in my house? And you can, just by changing those questions, you get responses and can work your way through your house.
It's amazing the wisdom and magic of the body, and that we think our intellect is superior to our body wisdom, to our not just our intuition, but things like, well, for instance, the self-healing, that the fact that our own body is our best physician. And I often say, you know, that a woman's body, in a way, is the ultimate alchemist because it can change blood to milk.
Yeah.
But respect for body wisdom over the kind of technological wisdom that can be measured is sadly lacking in our society.
Yeah, but we're getting there. You know, more people are interested in this information and this knowledge and experiment for themselves. And, you know, this is where the whole thing should go. You know, people should just use it themselves and find out about those topics.
Tell our listeners again about the free gift that you're offering at your website and the name of your website again.
The website is called www.harmonizeyourspace, in one word, harmonizeyourspace.com. And there is a 50-page e-workbook on dowsing, and including this body dowsing, you know, and on some feng shui principles. And there are also, you know, my other websites, which are, you know, have a lot of information about EMFs, about geopathic stress, about different causes and health issues. And there is even, I believe, on one side there is a health test or a test a questionnaire you can go through, and you see how many questions you answer with yes, and which might indicate that there is a geopathic problem in your house.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Would you quickly share with us? This is kind of a trick question. Your vision of a more resilient, healthy future.
My vision.
Yeah.
I would say people have to be educated and be aware, you know, to choose organic over non-organic, to choose GMO-free food and diet, and to know, you know, what dangers come from all these technologies, which are, you know, incredibly increasing, you know, in a rate which is totally scary. And if we can get this under control, you know, and understand, as you mentioned earlier, you know, that the body has this innate wisdom of self-healing, you know, so we can get it to do its job properly, then you know, everybody would get away from the pharmaceuticals and from the drugs, you know, which advertise on one page and the next three pages describe all the side effects, right? I mean, that's insane. So it comes all to a more natural way of living and eating and health.
Well, that, I think, is wonderful advice. Thank you, Werner. Is there something you were hoping to say before we say our final thank yous and sign off that you were hoping to share with our listeners this evening that we skipped over?
No, we covered pretty much everything. You know, just read up on the EMF situation. I would very much recommend that. You know, it's really, really important for the children and for the next generations.
Thank you. And a good place to start would be at Werner's website. So thank you for sharing this with us, and thank you, listeners, for caring enough to listen and to follow up on this. And have a blessed week.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary and Bill. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.